If he hasn't told you yet via social media, text, or in person, tomorrow is George's birthday.
Just sending out some reminders.
He's telling bosses that he will not be available after 2:01. Before 9:59 and 2:01. That is the window on George's birthday. You know, some places you work at, they give you your birthday off.
Hope Mark's listening.
Or they send you home early. We'll send you home after 2.
Okay, I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it.
Have you already lined up which places you're going to go to that you get a free birthday meal? Because they don't do birthday drinks anymore.
No, they do not. But I did get an email. I think I can say their name. Yeah, they're a paying client, Twin Peaks. I got a free meal from there if I'd like to.
Okay.
I already know Denny's is also a very popular place for a free Grand Slam on your birthday. Here's what I'll say. If you guys know deals out there for your birthday, George@1620inthezone.com. I am all about free stuff, especially on my day.
Hey, did you just whore yourself out?
Just a little bit.
I think you did there.
I will hit as many as possible. But you know what? Somebody in the building also has the same birthday. They're not going to be in tomorrow because they are turning the wonderful age of 50, and they're going to do 50 great things on their birthday. So they're going to take the whole day, and they're going to do 50 great things. I am going to look at that list, and I'm going to pick one, and I'm going to join in on it. So I don't know what it is yet, though.
Who's turning 50?
Tina.
Really?
Yeah.
I would not have known that. Well, happy birthday to her.
There you go.
See, I don't get to take advantage of these free meals and stuff.
What's that?
It seems like because of my schedule, I'm always out of town that week, but... Or my birthday falls on Thanksgiving.
Very true. Yeah. And everything's closed.
Yes. All right. 2 hours to go. Welcome back in. This is the Gary Sharp Show. At 2 today, Scott Frost will speak. I'm sure he'll have plenty of things to talk about. Will he talk about them or will he be axed about them? I think with the Mo Washington situation where... Even our janitor is being asked if Mo Washington is still part of the Nebraska football program. He don't speak English, so he has no idea what you're saying when you're asking him that probably in an opening statement Scott has to address if Mo Washington, what's Mo Washington's status? Because I'm not playing clickbait on the radio. In the last hour, George, I'm looking at my email. 1, 2, 3, 4. So here is in the subject line. Washington, Husker quits. He gone. Indiana, will Mo play?
Wow.
Yeah. I was traveling yesterday, so I, you know, look at the phone and people are saying, hey, game day's in Brookings. And is Mo Washington still part of Nebraska's football program? So the head coach will speak at 2 as after bye. Now Nebraska takes on Indiana as an underdog, an Indiana team that with a win, they'll become bowl eligible. They won at Maryland over the weekend with a backup quarterback, Peyton Ramsey, who was their starter last year, came off the bench, went 20 of 27. This is a team, they complete over 70% passing. They've lost to Ohio State, just like Nebraska. They got blown out by the Buckeyes. And then they went to Michigan State, and they were able to score a bunch on that Spartan defense. They gave up 42 to a Michigan State offense that is not known as basketball on grass. They are well coached. Stevie Scott is their running back. He's over 500 yards rushing. They average more yards per play than Nebraska. They're at 6.3. Nebraska's at 5.74. They do love to throw the ball. They're 16th in the country in passing, 307 yards per game. You could make a case that both these teams are evenly matched, that you could have made this game in Vegas as a pick-em. But one team's trying to get bowl eligible, the other team is trying to pick up a victory to get closer to being bowl eligible, and maybe that'll happen next week when Nebraska goes to West Lafayette. You win this week, you go to West Lafayette, you play in the big nude Saturday game, which is the 11 a.m. kick at Purdue. Can't imagine what the crowd will be like. Purdue plays Illinois this weekend. Purdue could be 2-6. Let's say Nebraska drops this weekend, they're 500. That was a game way back in the spring where Purdue was trying to plan out their promotional schedule. They were trying to turn that into, just like the Ohio State game last year, late in the year, making a night game, and they were going to have an all blackout for that game. Now that game has been regulated to 11 a.m. on Saturday, November 2nd. I can't imagine the crowd will be huge, which Nebraska's gone to West Lafayette. It's never been like packed. It seems like Nebraska, Purdue, and West Lafayette, outside of the last time Nebraska was there, that's destined to be the 11 a.m. game, and that's what it will be. All right, more brags and bitches here on a Brag and Bitch Monday. Shane says Frost is a bust. Shane is back. Shane got his wish. Noah Vedral started a game. Shane is back. Shane says, what is the over-under on Scott Frost completing his current contract? Well, he's got a 7-year contract, and I believe that he'll be here for at least 7 years. Andrew, talking earlier, we had Matt Verzal on, and we were talking about the Wisconsin-Illinois game, where Wisconsin had plenty of chances to put Illinois out of reach. They missed a field goal. If they hit a field goal, they're up 26-21, which means Illinois has got to drive and score a touchdown on that defense. Andrew in the ATL mentions that Taylor fumbled under 5 minutes. Chris probably wasn't confident in him. Ohio State will not be any easier. I agree about the Ohio State game. That I don't know who's beaten Ohio State. Ohio State is a cheat code. They were favored to hammer Northwestern, a team that right now has no life. There are no signs of life in Evanston. That's scary. But Ohio State was supposed to go in there and hammer them, and they, after a little bit of a slow start, then they cranked it up, and they look like the Ohio State that I have as one of the top four teams in college football, and they rolled in that game. And I think they will roll again against Wisconsin, because I don't think Wisconsin has the weapons offensively to keep up with them. Because I think Wisconsin's defense is going to give up at least 3 touchdowns, maybe more. Can Wisconsin, on Ohio State's defense, score more than 3 touchdowns? Because what Ohio State ran into, or Wisconsin ran into against Illinois, is they couldn't be themselves. Where they could not, an opponent, they couldn't run it down their throats. And they didn't have a dynamic passing game to be able to offset that. Now, I think they're still the best team in the West. Wisconsin is, in my opinion. Still the best team in the West. But they weren't able to go to plan B against Illinois, and it hurt them. And Andrew in the ATL is right. Taylor did fumble. But he also was picking up 5-6 yards. I think they got away from their identity. I would have rather run the ball on third down, taking your chances, even if you get stuffed. You punt, you make Illinois go the length of the field to get into, or you know, basically go 50, 60, 70 yards to get into field goal range. But this Wisconsin has one of these games when they're having one of these seasons that keeps them away from that upper tier of college football is they have one of the screw the pooch games where they have a great opportunity in front of them to go into Columbus unbeaten, and whether they overlook Illinois or not, they show up for a game and they look nothing like they have in their previous games. And they walk out of there with an L and people go, okay, will Wisconsin be any better than really good? We want them to be great. Most of the time, they're good. A lot of the time, they're really good. But will they ever be great? They have a game like Illinois, and you can ask those questions out loud. And you can say, why did you put your faith in Jack Cohen? You have a Heisman Trophy candidate in your backfield. Run the ball with him. And they lose a game, kind of like Missouri lost to Vanderbilt, where you go, what in the heck happened? Joe wants to know, did P.J. Fleck do Nebraska a huge favor by calling out the linebackers publicly? Is he saying something that all opposing coaches know and it hit Nebraska coaches in the face to fix it? No. I think Nebraska knows what their deficiencies are on defense. It just might have been a little bit odd to hear an opposing head coach say it out loud of what they notice on film and what they were going to do to Nebraska's linebackers, i.e. front seven, and then be able to execute it with doing simple better. And it's a copycat league, said this a lot last week. If Indiana has the means, if Purdue has the means, Maryland, Wisconsin, Iowa, they're going to do the same exact thing. They're going to do it until they've noticed that Nebraska has fixed it. Well, it starts with lining up correctly before the ball is even snapped. If you can do that in your Nebraska, all right, that's a step in the right direction. And then there's some guys that their eye discipline will never be there to the level that you need it to be to make plays on a consistent basis. Or the truth is, going laterally isn't their strength, and it hasn't been their strength for a while. It's just that was the first time that a head coach said something like that out loud. Now, to Minnesota, they rolled Rutgers this weekend. And they have Maryland, and then they're into the bye, and then Penn State comes to town. They're already making plans. They would love to have game day in Minneapolis. That is the same day that LSU and Alabama play in Tuscaloosa. That game is now 2:30 kick for LSU and Alabama. You have Penn State at Minnesota on the 9th of November. How many losses between now and the end of the season will Minnesota have? Because then they go into the month of reckoning for November, where PJ Fleck, who after his team was picked 6th in the West, in the quote-unquote media poll, was texting writers saying that being picked 6th in the West was a joke. And they've used it as motivation. And they'll get to November, and they still have Penn State, still have Iowa, they still have Northwestern, and they still have Wisconsin, all to go. The month of validation for Minnesota. Between now and then, and Minnesota's 7-0, they're ranked 17, they're one of the handful of teams that are still unbeaten. How many losses for Minnesota before the year is over? And is Minnesota the Northwestern of 18? If you're Minnesota, you don't want to be that because you want to have this sustained. You don't just show up in 19 and then go away in 20. You want to hang around in 20. And for some that are looking at the rebuild process in the West Division on how to get to the top, you've been looking up and you've been saying, there's Wisconsin and Iowa. Like if you're Nebraska, or even if you're Purdue, and you never put Minnesota into the equation, that teams you'd have to jump, one of those teams would be in the Twin Cities. So Minnesota in the next Maryland and then their final four, they have the question, is Minnesota for real and not just 19 real? Is there things in the Minnesota program that are sustainable that even with some really good talent that will depart the program, they're still going to be fine in 2020 and 2021 and beyond? I think that's a question they'll ask, and I think that's a question people in the West will ask. Is if I'm looking at teams I got to jump, is Minnesota a real threat that I'm going to have to jump, or is it Minnesota like Northwestern last year? They took advantage of the situation, took advantage of their schedule. They won some games. They won all the games they were supposed to, pulled off an upset here or there, and they won their division. But we know that in 2020, they're going to be back to 7-8 win team. Because Northwestern is back to a, didn't think they'd be at the bottom of the West, but they're there. I mean, there is no signs of life right now in Evanston, and they got Iowa this weekend for homecoming. All right, Brian, thanks for the email. We'll get to more on Indiana. Lots of questions about the line, so on and so forth. Plus, more on the truth of this weekend for Nebraska and Indiana. What's the truth about the Nebraska-Indiana game? It kicks off at 2:30 on Saturday. The reality is Indiana and Nebraska probably right now in the 2019 season, halfway through, there's a lot of similarities. A lot of similarities, which on one side, that should make you upset. You shouldn't be playing football in Lincoln, Nebraska and have somebody say, you know what, Indiana and Nebraska right now look very, very similar. Hey, in basketball, you'd take it. Basketball, you'd be over the top. You'd be like, this is the greatest thing.
Right.
Man, that's awesome. What way to go, Hoiberg. You are right on par with Indiana. They say that in football, and you're like, you might have us confused. No, don't have them confused in 2019. All right, 12:15, Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.